Total Tuscany Podcast, number 49. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Great to have back our regular listeners as well as our new listeners. Make sure to check out our website, TotalTuscany.com. If you are active on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Total Tuscany, on Facebook at Total Tuscany, and on Instagram at Total Tuscany. Very simple, because we are totally talking about Tuscany all the time. Good to have you along. I'm Travis Justice, co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, along with my publishing friend, my friend in real life, my travel partner, along with our wives, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hey, Pat.
Travis, great to be here, back in the saddle again.
You know, the truth is, we got to start doing this more often. We need to be in the studio like once a week. We you know, the summers pass us by, the weeks pass us by, but I find you're in a better mood, I'm in a better mood when we're sitting down talking to people about traveling, about Tuscany, about Italy, about the finer things in life that we believe take place in Florence, in Chianti, in Siena, because that's really where the finer things in life take place.
Right. We're busy. We have kids going off to college and school starting again, but you're right, it's refreshing because we're obviously called to be over there.
You know, it's interesting because the theme of today's podcast is find yourself in Tuscany, and we'll tell you why that's the theme here in a minute. But I think it's safe to say that both of us found ourselves in Tuscany, I think, for completely different reasons. When I first visited Tuscany in 2009, I had come off a job situation where I was forced to take a massive pay cut. It was the downturn of the economy. I didn't know what was going to happen with my family. My daughter was getting ready to start high school. My oldest daughter. You're of Italian heritage, so and what you were expecting out of it, I found something out of it that I didn't think was going to happen. I found myself, and I think you did too.
You know, well, for me, I was the first one in the family to actually go back to Italy, and I felt privileged and all kinds of emotions going. But it was a I don't think we've talked much about that, but it was a really interesting experience going, in essence, home.
You know, you hear stories all the time, and we've had many people on this podcast who have found themselves in Tuscany, and then they find themselves staying in Tuscany. And Lisa Condi is a perfect example of that. In 2012, she's standing outside a coffee shop in Rome, and the light went on. And she says, I have to live here. I have to stay here. So she went back to the United States, sold everything she had, and then wound up in Florence. What has happened over that time since 2012? Well, she has found herself in Tuscany. That's the name of her website and the name of her tour company. And Lisa Condi has a great story, and she shares it with us today on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Lisa, you had a quote that I have to ask you about because I think it's so right on, and that is you compared to moving to Italy as much to kind of like raising children. It's harder than you think, but better than you imagine. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, exactly. And I think about that a lot because obviously I get a lot of emails and questions of people saying, well, you know, I want to come to Italy. I want to do what you did. And it is, if you've ever had children, you know how there's really no way someone can prepare you for what that's going to be like. They can't prepare you for how wonderful it's going to be, and they can't prepare you for how much work it's going to be. And moving to Italy, because it's the only foreign country I've ever lived in, I have to just use that as my basis. It's very difficult to move there full time. The bureaucracy makes it just a huge undertaking to live there legally. I didn't speak any Italian when I arrived. Didn't know a single person there. So obviously I had a challenge that I hadn't really thought completely through.
Isn't it funny how we kind of make the best decisions we ever make are stuff we never really think completely through? Because if we actually thought through them, we wouldn't do them.
Again, just like children. I mean, if somebody actually sat you down and said, this is how much it's going to cost, and this is how much time and effort it's going to take, everyone would say, oh, well, no thanks. And Italy was as much the same way, I think. It was hard, but I knew it was what I wanted to do. I never had a doubt that I wanted to live there full time.
And Lisa, your website, the banner slogan is Find Yourself in Tuscany.
Yes.
How that fits together, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yes. And in fact, the book that I'm writing will be titled I Found Myself in Tuscany, because it really was a journey of self-discovery for me. And that's what I hope to share with the people that come on the tour with me. It's more than just seeing the sights. I really want them to think about beauty and joy and passion and all those good things that unfold when you're in such a beautiful place as Tuscany.
You brought up two things, and let's start, because you brought up your tour and you brought up your writing, because you're writing a book this summer. But you've also written extensively for the Huffington Post. You've written extensively for Tut. Let's start with your writing. How did you fall into that? And what has it been more, even though you're writing for people, has that been more of a journaling aspect for you?
Somewhat. And again, your term falling into it was very much correct, because I have to tell you guys, when I arrived in Florence that first year, it was just for me. I had sold my home, my business, my car, most of my possessions, 90% of them, and I was giving myself a gift of a little time out. So I really had no aspirations of what I would do other than explore Italy for some time, and then I thought I would just come back to Utah. So once I decided, no, I wanted to stay there, I started to write emails home and describing how I'd made the decision and why I was going to stay. And I had a couple of people say, you really need to share these. I'm not really comfortable, especially at that point, with just tooting my own horn, I guess. And so I eventually did send my piece called The Decision to an editor at the Huffington Post. And she just got right back to me and said, we want to feature this. And after they featured it, she said, please keep sending me more. Anything you send me, I'm loving it. So it just kind of evolved that way.
Do you find it therapeutic? Do you find it rewarding? How do you find, when you're writing something, where's all the inspiration come from?
Well, you know, initially, and you guys probably understand this best, you know, initially, the first year, I was so taken with the differences in the culture, and Huffington Post really liked the posts and wanted the post to be like, you know, the middle-aged woman in Italy, kind of the differences between Italy and the United States, that kind of thing, which I loved writing the first year or two. And then after a while, I actually started to feel very comfortable in Italy, and I didn't think about the differences so much anymore. That was home to me. And so I would write some things like that, and they'd say, you know, we just really don't like these pieces as much as your funny comparisons between being in Italy. And so, you know, initially it was great. Now I try to write things a little more in depth, such as why we should travel in times like these, you know, what you learn by traveling, what you learn by living in another culture, and they're accepted, you know, but I don't write for them as much as I used to, just because the differences to me aren't as glaring anymore. Florence is home.
Lisa, it sounds like at some point you stopped thinking of yourself as an American in Italy writing about Italy and more of an Italian. When did that, yeah. What led to that transition, do you think? Was it developing a familiarity with the language, or was it something else?
Well, certainly it was that. It was also just staying there year in and year out. You know, there are a lot of people even that have businesses in Italy that just come in to run their tours, or, you know, people that love Florence and love Tuscany and love Italy that come there once or twice a year. But I was living there year round, and I think that's what made the difference. Is there's something about the acceptance level that the people give you when they see you there year round, you know, that just became home to me. Friends and people that were like family to me were there.
So you start writing for the Huffington Post, you start telling your stories, and then comes the idea of Find Yourself in Tuscany and the tours. And now, full disclaimer here, Pat and I are not your niche market.
So true.
So, you're right. Matter of fact, Pat and I would not be allowed to go on this tour at all, because it is for women, which is great. And I think it's a great niche. I think it's a great concept. You said you went there that first year for yourself. When did the little light go on and say, you know what, there are other people who like me who may not be able to make the decision I made, but want to spend, you know, 9-10 days here and find themselves? When did that idea come to you?
Well, it actually, again, like most of the things that came to me just came organically while I was there. After I had written for Huffington Post, they named me one of the 50 over 50 person that had rediscovered or redefined themselves after 50. And subsequently, after they did that, I was on the Today Show. That is the kind of advertising I can't buy. Yeah, I don't know who can buy it.
You know, Pat and I are trying to put our tour together, and if we could get on the Today Show, that would really help us out.
Exactly. I mean, it was such a gift. And so people had been writing to me before, but now the volume just totally increased tenfold, saying, I want to go to Tuscany. Can you show me Tuscany? And I had put together a tour that was mostly for people, quite honestly, that I knew or that knew my then partner that was helping me from the United States. And so, because of course, I mean, who's going to just sign up for a tour that's never even heard of this person or knows of you? So I knew that we kind of had a plan, that I had somewhat of an itinerary. And as women continued to write and said, you know, can you show me Tuscany? How do I come and do what you did at a short period of time? So it just evolved, and as the itinerary has. And yeah, that bit of exposure was just a fabulous shot in the arm.
Lisa, could you explore a little bit about how you take this tour, these ladies, how is it different from showing them places in Tuscany and actually exposing them to what you've discovered? How do you go beyond the typical tour?
Well, and thank you for that question, because that really is why I, for the most part, live in Florence, is when these women show up, of course, every tour of Florence is going to have some of the same highlights. We're all going to go to the Accademia and see Michelangelo's David, the Duomo, Ponte Vecchio. We're all going to see these gorgeous places, but I have developed relationships there. And so whether it's the hotel, the restaurant, the drivers, the tour guides, these people know me. They know that I expect fabulous customer service. Even in the shops, I have a preferential shopping map that I give my ladies. So they know when they go in these shops and tell the people there that they're with my tour, that they're going to be treated fairly, that somebody will speak English with them, that they just don't need to worry about the pricing. Even if they don't want to buy anything, that's fine too. And that's what I've really tried to develop, is a way that people can come in, have some of the local culture, feel like they're getting the experience of a local, even though they're only there for 10 days.
You know, you settled on Florence, and I got to ask you this, because when you decided to make that decision, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were getting ready to leave Italy, and you were in Rome, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
So you're in Rome. In Rome is a fabulous place. I don't think Rome is as good as Florence, but that's my personal opinion. How did you decide on Tuscany? Because obviously you've been to other parts of Italy. When did you say, you know, Tuscany is the place for me, Florence is the place for me?
This is such a great question, because it was total serendipity. The day before I made that decision, I had been in the bed and breakfast that I was staying in, and I gone in to have breakfast, and there were two gentlemen there. At first, I thought they were Italian, because they were speaking Italian. And then it turned out they were American, and we started visiting, and they said, you know, if you ever want to learn Italian, you need to go to Florence, because Florence is where the language is spoken the best. You know how Florentines feel about that. And and this is a school we went to, and it was so great. And I just kind of, you know, as I drank my coffee, thought, oh, okay, that's nice, but I'm leaving tomorrow. And the following day when I made the decision, the pieces just started to come together. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to do this, I really do have to learn some Italian. And I went back to exactly the school that the two had told me and went from there.
Okay, so on that first trip, had you been to Tuscany? Had you been to Florence even on that first trip?
Yes.
Okay.
I had been to Florence the year before.
Okay.
This was the second time to Italy in 2 years. So obviously it was calling to me, but I hadn't been to Florence that second year. But I had been there the first year, and I thought, you know, it kind of makes sense. It's a little smaller. I probably could get around a little better.
And what was the school you went to? Because I know a lot of people are going, okay, what was the school? Because if we make this leap, we want to do the same thing. What was the school you went to? Matter of fact, Pat and I look at each other going,
unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
It was at the Instituto Italiano. And it was right by the Duomo, so every morning on my way to class, I'd walk by the Duomo, and I'd look up and just, you know, like, laugh. Like, what am I doing here? This is just insane. And then I'd go to school. But I do have recommendations for tutors, and anyone is welcome to write to me, and I'm happy to share those, because the darling lady who was my teacher had the, you know, the patience of Job. She does still do some tutoring, and she's fabulous with English speaking people.
So Lisa, aside from the language, this experience, you've been exposed to so much of Italy. Why Tuscany, not Sorrento or Venice? Why do you focus on Tuscany?
I'm sure that every single person could find 10 reasons why their area would be the best to bring people to. And for me, again, because it came about organically, and I didn't really go to Italy to think I'm going to start a travel company, so I need to decide on an area. I just went to Florence, and I fell in love with the people and the place. And as I expanded into the Chianti area and Montepulciano and then Cortona, which is my favorite place in all the world, Cortona, I just thought, this is what I want to share. And so I probably want to share it because I know it the best. But that's really how it came about. I'm sure there are other areas of Italy that I could have fallen in love with equally.
Lisa Condi is our guest on the Total Tuscany podcast. She has a fascinating story. What was your... You know, when you're standing outside in Rome, take us through that process. And maybe I'm going to dive in personally here, but what was going on in your life that you said, I'm just going to pack up everything and go?
Well, and quite honestly, it is not my nature. I mean, people hear the story now, they really don't even understand that I was 56 years old. The only career I had ever had was teaching fitness classes. I had been a full-time mom and wife. But at this point in 2012, standing in the coffee shop in Rome, I had been divorced about 8 or 9 years. I had just broken up with my then partner. In fact, he was supposed to be on the trip with me. And we had had our final argument about 10 days before I left. And so my daughter ended up being my companion for that trip, which was just fabulous because we totally explored and had a great time, and I kind of left all my cares behind. The coffee shop wasn't even open. I had just ducked in as we waited for the coffee, or as we waited for the taxi, and asked them if they would make me a coffee. And as I stood there, I just thought with every part of my being, I don't want to go home. I am so happy here. And there's just something about Italy that is calling to me. And in that moment, all I can say is everything came together. I thought I could sell my house. I could sell my business. I can sell all the stuff I've been dragging around for 10 years and give myself some time to explore this beautiful place. I'm tired of being rushed through Italy. And as I told you before, I had been there twice in 2 years, but every time I felt I was being rushed, yeah. I wanted more time.
Are the women that go on your tour maybe facing similar situations that you are? I mean, do you find a lot of connections?
Yes. Yeah. There's no question that women read my story and it resonates with them. And for whatever reason, the beautiful synchronicity of the tours is that we tend to get women on specific tours. We called one, I think it was a year or so ago, we called them the Merry Widows because I had like 7 out of 10 had been widowed within the past couple of years. Now, generally, that's not, you know, what happens, but I do tend to get groups of women who, for whatever reason, if they're solo travelers, or sometimes they're very happily married, but their husband doesn't want to travel or doesn't want to go to Tuscany.
And you know what's interesting about that is because you've seen our itinerary on our website is that Pat and I were like, we're trying to inspire couples to go because Pat and I have both found that I think as we went as couples, that was the most inspiring time we've had as a couple, you know, is to explore that that region and that area and really get in contact with yourself.
Absolutely. And what more beautiful place to, you know, the wine and the food and the art and the slower pace to allow yourself as a couple to just enjoy it together.
I totally agree with you. Okay, so what is the, as we switch gears, what's the worst experience you've had? It couldn't have all been easy. There's no way. And you even said it was harder than you thought it was going to be, but better than you imagined. But what was the absolute worst experience? You're like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I make this decision?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Probably, well, there's no question. Going, just jumping through the hoops and the enormous red tape of getting a permesso was very, very
difficult. What is that?
A permesso di soggiorno is the equivalent of the U.S. visa.
Okay.
You have to have a visa from the United States, but then 8 days after you arrive in Italy, you have to apply and start the wheels turning for your permesso. I thought after doing it the first time, silly me, thought the renewal would be easier.
No.
No, it was a nightmare. And so I have this sneaky suspicion that Italy does this to weed out the people who aren't really, really serious about making the commitment. But it really is difficult in ways that I've written about in my book kind of extensively. But, you know, in the United States, you would just go online and there would be forms and you'd fill out the forms and it would tell you where to send them. And that's just not what happens in Italy.
Does Italy struggle with that? And what I mean, because there's so much flight from Italy, you have a lot of natives that are leaving. Does it struggle wanting people like Americans to come in and just take up residence? Does it struggle with that? Does it really want people to stay?
I think there's kind of a love-hate relationship with that. Obviously, Italy knows that they need the business of tourists coming in. They like people coming in that will spend money there. But, you know, and again, this is the love-hate thing with Italy. Italy's not motivated by money. This is a concept that we have in the United States. But Italians aren't motivated by money. Italians are more motivated by relationships and what it's going to do to the quality of their day-to-day life. I mean, if Italians were motivated by money, half of them, three-fourths of them, wouldn't close down in August and go to the beach.
That's true. That is very, very true.
You know, the hottest month of the year and all the gelato shops are closed because they went to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Is that a struggle for you? And what I mean by this, you have to be motivated by money a little bit or you couldn't maintain living there. True?
Well, yes. you know, I've been fortunate enough, like I said, with these tours to kind of organically come about. But yeah, that is a struggle. But there again, you have to start, if you're going to stay there, you have to start to get in that mindset. They really are motivated by relationships. And once you're in, you're in. I mean, you're like family. They're going to just bend over backwards to make me happy, to make the ladies on the tour happy. But you don't get that by tipping or by offering more money, those kinds of things. That's almost offensive there.
Lisa, there's got to be something about the relationships that you established in Cortona that makes that your favorite place on earth. Could you tell us a little bit of maybe a story about that particular place that you just think our listeners could relate? If they could ask a question right now, they'd say, tell me why Cortona?
Well, quite honestly, I kind of avoided Cortona just because of, I adore Francis Mays. We have a virtual friendship now, but you know, initially I just thought it was so cliche. People had always said, oh, you're just like the lady in Under the Tuscan Sun. And so I'd kind of thought Cortona was going to be a little too touristy or a little too cliche, I guess. And so I hadn't gone there until the very end of my first year. And when I arrived, they told me the hotel, I had actually booked a hotel for one night, which I didn't usually do, but I really wanted to spend some time there and find out why everybody seemed to like Cortona so much. And they said, oh, just give us a call and we'll send the van down to get you or whatever. And so when I called, they said, oh, yeah, we'll send Mariano down to get you. And this gentleman shows up. You know, your listeners might be thinking, I've got a nice van with like the hotel's name on the outside of it. Oh, no. Mariano arrives in this dented up car, papers, clothes all over the car. And he just kind of looks and says, you know, are you Lisa? Get in. And as I got in the car, I was telling him that I wanted to go see Brahma Sole, where Francis Mays had lived or had redone the home, and it was in the movie, and I was going on and on. And Mariano, who now is a very good friend, but he just said, you American women are so stupid. you come to Cortona to see what? A movie set? Why don't you come to Cortona to see Cortona? And I, you know, okay. So what am I supposed to see in Cortona? And he said, you let me take you on a tour. So anyway, that was the beginning of my friendship with Mariano, who still doesn't mince any words with me.
But you appreciate the honesty, right?
Yes. But, you know, that day he took me out to Le Celle, where St. Francis from Assisi had come to meditate in the forest. It is seriously the most spiritual, beautiful place I have ever been. He took me up to the very, very top, Santa Margherita Church, overlooks the whole valley. And by the time I was finished with those, he says, well, now does the American lady want to go see Brahma Sole? And by then, I was just totally overcome with the beauty of Cortona, the spiritual essence of Cortona, just the simple beauty of this place. And I said, yes, take me to see Brahma Sole. And, you know, he was right. When I got out and I looked at this house, which, of course, looks just like it does in the movie, but it was just a house. It wasn't Cortona. And so I am always grateful for Mariano. I've written a lot about him in my book and that experience, because he really, by his brutal honesty, saved me from missing what Cortona has to offer. And it is now my favorite place in the world.
What a great story. And obviously, anybody that comes on a tour with you, they know now that you are going to show them
Yeah.
The real Tuscany, not the stage set.
Exactly, and that is not to take anything away from Frances Mays and Under the Tuscan Sun, because the people of Cortona love her. What she did for that city, you know, what it's done to the people there and their economy. But there's so much more, and that's what people miss if they go there just to see the movie set.
Okay, but I need a favor from you, because we're also slight virtual friends with Frances. She follows us on Twitter. We've had brief conversations, but we've asked several times for a podcast interview. So you have to write her and say, hey, these guys are actually pretty nice guys.
I will do that.
Do the podcast interview. They're begging for Frances Mays to come on this podcast.
I will do that. I will tell her that I talked about her, and hopefully she'll listen to this one and agree to do that. She's really just a lovely, lovely person.
So your October tour is sold out. That is sold out, and that also includes Cinque Terre. You have a private tour in March. What is the private tour?
Well, the private tour means that whoever books that can tweak that signature tour a little bit. And also in March, it sounds like I'm going to have a few guys on the tour.
Is that right?
Really?
Wow. But that's the private tour.
That's a private tour.
Then you have the April, you have in April, you have two of them, the 2nd through the 9th, then the 3rd to the 30th, if I'm correct. What I want to tell people, because we have a lot of women that listen to this podcast, and what I want to say is if you've never gone, April is, to Pat and I, the ideal months to go. A, the weather's spring-like, perfect, and the tourists have not invaded yet.
Exactly, and that's why you guys probably understand why I crammed two of those tours in April and didn't do one in April and one in May. Because if you can get in April before the big crowds come and that gorgeous weather, I love the weather in March as well.
And we've gone late March and we've gone April as well. And it's just, we just find that to be the most ideal time. Is it as green as it could be in the vineyards and stuff? No, but it's just, it's not crowded. I find the prices a little bit better. And
exactly.
And the weather's just perfect, especially if you're coming off a long, hard winter in the United States for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you for that. I feel the same about October, though.
Yep.
I think October is totally overlooked by travelers because that's when the olive oil and the wine is all being pressed and made and gorgeous fall colors. I love October.
When can our listeners expect your book, Lisa?
Not
to put you on the spot.
No, I am planning to wrap up my part of it within the next 2 weeks. So then it goes to editing and book design. And I'm really thinking Christmas or the first of the year, it should be ready to go. But my personal celebration is that another 2 weeks at the most, my part is finished.
So, you know, Francis got the movie, the Eat, Love, Pray movie. Are we going to see a Lisa Conde movie? Is this going to be a movie script?
I have no idea. You know, part of me thinks, are people just sick of those stories?
No, you know why? They're not because it's inspiration. I just watched I'm Not Your Guru, Tony Robbins on Netflix. And Tony Robbins has been going for 25 years. And
yes,
a lot of stuff hasn't changed because people need inspiration daily. They need stories that keep them moving and keep them striving for their own goal. Their goal may not be to go to Tuscany, but they look at somebody and go, okay, you set a goal, you made it. I have a goal, I can achieve it. Inspirational stories are what keep people going, Lisa. I really believe that.
Well, thank you. And of course, I certainly hope so. And personally, I feel like my stories are very different from those. Not to spoil the ending, but it doesn't end up with a husband or a man in my life. So there's the difference right there. And I'm substantially older than they were at the points of their stories.
You know, you say in your article you're not a risk taker. I don't believe you. I think you're one of the biggest risk takers out there. You just didn't know it. You were taking risks and you didn't know it. I really believe that. And you know what? We're not your ideal target audience, Pat and ourselves, but I know a lot of our listeners are. And this has been one great conversation. And I truthfully, I think we could keep going for an hour, but I know people are probably going, okay, I need to get to findyourselfintuscany.com and get signed up for your tour because there are spots available in the April tours. And I hope people,
absolutely,
especially if you're a woman and you're inspired by Lisa, go join her. She'll give you a trip of a lifetime.
And Lisa, thank you for sharing with us. Thanks for telling your story.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
And real quickly, people can find you on social media. Give everybody your social media stuff if you have it handy.
On Facebook, Find Yourself in Tuscany. On Twitter, FYI Tuscany. And Instagram, FYI Tuscany as well. But I'm not very good on Instagram. I got to work on that. I'm on Facebook. Same name everywhere.
Excellent. Lisa Conde, you've been fabulous. We appreciate your time. And hopefully the next time we're in Italy, we get to sit down and have a glass of wine with you.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much.
Travis, I think I could talk to Lisa for another hour and a half, couple hours. We need to share some more stories.
The truth is we needed her in the studio with some espresso, with some just all sorts of Italian pastries. And I think it would be a fascinating conversation. And she's definitely one that when the book comes out, I hope joins us again on the podcast because she's writing the book now. Once the book comes out, I want to have her back to talk about the book and in the deeper meaning of the book. But there was so much inspiration there. And yes, she took a risk. And is that risk for everybody? No. But what's great is, and again, her tour is designed for women. And there are so many, we know so many people that would love, that don't want to maybe move to Italy, but they want to experience Italy. And doing it with Lisa would be the ideal way to do it because it's a deep dive. It's not a, hey, go here. It's a deep dive into the Tuscan culture.
She's totally not taking people on a tour so they can check something off a box. She's obviously it's a real tour. She's taking them to meet real people and establish relationships. And we both know once you've got that relationship, you're going to go.
Yes, and it's great. It's great to have that relationship with her now. We have so many relationships that we've fostered ourselves in Florence and in and around Tuscany. And that's the benefit. When you look at the tour we've put together, you look at the tours that Lisa has put together, it's the value you get. It's just not nonstop, go. Oh, I saw it. Now I got to leave. Again, it's really diving into the culture, immersing yourself in Tuscany, and leaving there with a full sense of wow, that was just absolutely amazing,
and lasting relationships.
Yes,
that's the key. At the end of the day, when you come back home, and to the grind of your workday and your life, those are the lasting relationships, not the pictures. It's what you've developed.
Make memories, not money. That's the best way to do it. Make memories, not money. He's Pat Campagna. I'm Travis Justice. This has been the Total Tuscany Podcast. We want to, again, thanks Lisa Conde for joining us. Look for her book coming out soon. And also check out her website, Find Yourself in Tuscany. And check out her tour, April 2nd through the 9th and April 23rd through the 30th. Make sure to follow Total Tuscany on Twitter, at Total Tuscany. We're on Facebook, at Total Tuscany, and on Instagram, at Total Tuscany. Very simple. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on the Total Tuscany Podcast.